Such an honor to be here to celebrate your first year and just to speak words of endorsement. My goodness, God is good. He has done tremendous things in this place. And so I'm really thankful. I had to come out of the coffee bar just to gather myself because I was so overwhelmed and standing in awe of the glory of what God has done. And sometimes when you are part of it, you just don't realize how amazing the things that God will do in our life. I want to share with you some of my experiences with the Lord as a journey into the inward life. A lot of times we are looking for God somewhere out there, and we forget that he lives within us. But he's not a God that lives on the surface. He enters into the very depths of who you are. And the relationship is a covenant relationship. It's so beautiful. It's almost beyond words. And when you get to know God in what we would call a secret place, or as the scripture says, the Holy of Holies, we find out that that's really our innermost being. That place where rivers of living water flows out of us. It is a very deep place, and you really need a revelation to really know. And sometimes, because we don't realize what God has done, we're constantly looking for something else that he will do. And so I'm going to speak to you from the title of God's Special Treasure. His special treasure is you. And he tells us that it's so special and you're so valued that it's this private, personal, intimate relationship. Now, I want to stress that it's private. Most of us think that God demonstrates his love in an outward way. He does lavish us with lots of things. But when you get down deep into his heart, he really is all about loving you. That's why his greatest promise to us is that he says to us that I will never leave you. I will always be with you. Now, we can just gloss over that, but what he's really saying and doing is promising you himself. He's saying to you that I understand covenant relationship deep in the heart. You see, we don't understand when he says, I will not leave you, that he really means that he will not leave you. You see, we don't understand covenant because if someone doesn't please us, we feel like we have an out. But when he said to me that I will not leave you, I had to think about that for a minute. And just like you, when you're living an outward life, you think that it's something that you do can cause him to change his mind and have to retract that. But I had to remember that he didn't promise me that he would do a whole lot of things for me that really stuck to my heart. He said, I'm giving you myself. And sometimes we don't know or wonder if he's enough. He told me, you enough for me. Why am I not enough for you? He wants you to know how special you are. And he goes down deep with discovery of the intimate moments of life. Now, most of us, life is good if things are going well. But he said, I won't leave you. Even if you are at your worst, I will not leave you. We said, are you serious? He says, I will not leave you. He said, I would rather be with you as you are than not be with you. You see, those words really rock my heart. You're saying that no matter what? Because sometimes we can be at our worst. And we used to, when I got engaged with my wife and I said the covenant vows, it said, for better or worse. In sickness and in health, richer or poor. In other words, there are some times when things don't go very well. And we're wondering if we understand covenant, if we understand God saying that even in those times, I will not leave you. I would rather be with you than not be with you. You see, we look at external things and we determine whether or not we're having a good life or a good day, or it's all about the events or circumstances that dictate to us if we are having a good day. But with God, it's all about you. And if we can go deep enough to understand that it's good because he's with you, it's the company that you keep, it's him being with you and you being with him that makes the difference. He takes everyday mundane life and he transcends it into what he calls eternal life in John 17:3, that speaks of this is eternal life, that you know him. And so the knowledge of him, and when we go down and deep, it's the original word to know him, and this is covenant language, because he said to, it's not an external thing, I'm going to put my law in your mind or your inward part, I'm going to write it on your heart, and there would be no one to teach you to know me, you all will know me. And that's an intimate word, yada, that means to know you very intimate, so that the fruit that's born out of this relationship will be something very special. So it's deeper than our performance. He doesn't want you to love him by what he can do. It was hard for me to understand, because I think that he loves me because of my performance. But he said, I won't leave you, because you're my special treasure. You're my private possession. And my life with you is so important, until if I'm with you, it doesn't matter what's going on around me. Again, he takes everyday life and he transcends it, because he's telling us that when I'm with you, nothing else matters. But you look at life and you say, oh, there's some better and worse. And yes, there is, when you don't have him as your focus. He makes everything beautiful. And when he tells you that it's all okay because I'm with you, that means it's not about performance, but sometimes our relationship with him is about all about performance. We love him if he does everything that he promised us, but we don't know. The greatest promise is that I will be with you. I will never leave you. See, we would rather him to change things, to fix things, but he said, I want you to learn how to love me for myself. You see, I promise you that I would heal you, but I don't want you to love me because I can heal you. I don't want you to love me because I can deliver you. I don't want you to love me because I can fix your problem. And truly, I am God. I could fix anything in a moment, but I would rather share life with you. You see, we don't know that life is a gift. We look at it again as external. Oh, if everything is going well, then it's okay. Lord, praise you. And God is like this. When you're on the mountaintop, he says, I'd like to enjoy it with you. When you are hurting, I want to share that with you. Because life is a gift. And I'm learning how to love him in every moment and not rush through life trying to get to some place that I've decided will make me happy. The process is so wonderful because he's always mindful of us. He always gives you his full attention. He makes us to know how special you are, but it's that deep relationship, that private relationship that you, and it's personal and it's different. He shows you different things about himself and he discovers different things about you. And it's the eternal life that he's discovering things about you that you didn't even know. Because we are so surface and external, and we look at everything and we think, okay, I was hurt. And yes, we all have been hurt. One of the indications that you're chosen and precious to God is that you've been rejected by man. That they didn't know how to treat you. They didn't know how to value the treasure that's in you, because that's personal. That is personal. That's between you and God. And he wants you to know that I get my identity and my affirmation from him, from being with him. He makes me feel good no matter what is going on. But it takes the time to learn covenant love, where you understand that just like he said he will not leave you, you need to have a revelation that you are always with him. One of the things that I was reading, the scripture that impacted me, and I know it's very familiar, in Luke 15, he talks about the prodigal son and the elder brother. And the elder brother, he's thinking about, I please the father by doing everything he say and serving him. But he gets angry, and he comes to him and to the father, and he talks to him about the fact that he's been doing everything right. And the father said, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. You see, if we don't understand the power of him promising us that I will never leave you, I will always be with you, then you don't know what it's like to be with him. Now, we all share a relationship with him that's very public, but I'm talking about something that's not public at all. You see, I'm married, and there are certain things about my wife that is only in an intimate setting that's between me and her, and we go deep into a love relationship and a covenant relationship that's unseen by anybody else, and nobody else understands it. And I'm challenging you as you are going to this year that you would connect with God in this secret place and begin to know him apart from performance, because if we can be released from that, then we would understand that when he says, I won't leave you, it has nothing to do with your performance, whether you do anything good or bad, because he's telling you that the amazing part of it is that I have discovered treasure in you. You are my special treasure. You are my prized possession. You are my secret love. That he goes deep and you say, no, God, you can't know. I don't feel like that because I've been mistreated. He said, you are chosen. You are precious. You are my possession. You are mine. I have purchased you. And I want to make you feel like you are the best, and everybody wants attention, and God is giving you full attention, but we are pursuing outward things. We are saying, God, if you just do this, I'll be happy. But he says, no, you won't. I want to read Exodus 19:4. He says, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, they had just left the bondage of Egypt. God had delivered them with power. Such power that had never been seen. And I want to tell you that if you want to see God's power and you think that's going to cause you to be faithful in covenant relationship, that's not enough. He delivered them, but they didn't connect what was really important, because it's by revelation and even progressive revelation. He had promised them that he was going to bring them into a land full of milk and honey, and that's what we are looking for, that promise of something that's external. But he secretly told them that I was bringing you out on eagle's wings to me, to myself. Now, covenant, it takes maturity to enter into the covenant. If you ever have time, just read Ezekiel 16, verse 8, and it tells that it was when the time for love, he entered into covenant, when there was a maturity. Because it's about faithfulness. But he says, I brought you to myself. And he says, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my special treasure to me above all people. Can you say above all people? For all the earth is mine, but I have chosen you. You have been chosen. You have been chosen. He chose you before you did anything good or bad, and you don't have to prove anything to him. You don't have to prove anything to anyone else. He loves you just as you are. And that's important that you understand, because we want him to fix things, because we don't think we're good enough. We don't think we're worth very much because of what has been done to us. All of the wounds, all of the hurts, all of the neglect, all the rejection, all of the misunderstanding, and even some real pain. And we don't understand how valuable we are, but he says, I chose you above all the people of the world. I chose you. And I brought you out to myself, and I wanted to teach you how to love. I have to teach you how to be faithful. I have to teach you that it's not about what you do. Your work comes out of this relationship. We're talking about a very deep relationship of intimacy that produces the fruit. I will never see your relationship with God. It's private. I will only see the fruit. It is when you come together with him that something is produced. This understanding that he is with you and you are precious. I had to learn to trust that God won't leave me, even when I'm acting a fool. And preachers do act a fool. I wish we were like the angels, but we are just human beings being drawn into the promises of God. I had to learn that I can't even come to him unless he draws me, the Father draws me. These are spiritual truths. He told me, you didn't choose me. I chose you. And I have power to draw you into this secret place of intimacy. Because that changes the way you see things. We misunderstand him so many times. And as I'm traveling about, I see there's so many Christians that are disappointed and discouraged. Because we don't think that he's coming and doing what we think he should do. And he's trying to get us deeper than him being like an action figure for you with a cape that just comes and rescue you on demand. The relationship is deeper than that. You would wonder in John chapter 11, when he said that he loved Lazarus and Mary and Martha, and they even knew that he loved them, and yet when they sent for him and said that the one whom you love is sick, he didn't come. And that's confusing, because he said he loved him, but later on, he said he waited 2 extra days. And on top of that, he said he wasn't going to die, and he died. He was never in a hurry, and yet he said he loved them, and he didn't come. And when he came, Mary said, and Martha said, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. You see, we want him to come on demand. We want him to come and fix things. We want him to come. And he wasn't in any hurry, because he's trying to take us deeper and to the place where you understand that, am I enough? He had the power to raise Lazarus from the dead. And he has the power to do what you want right now. And you wonder why he doesn't just do it. Because I was just really confused, because when you start to look at what Jesus is saying and what you think he should do. Again, when we are outward focused, we just look at everything by performance. We want Jesus to do something, and he wants you to learn how to be with him. So he didn't rush, and when he got there, he was dead. The man was dead. Lazarus was dead. And you know what he did? When he came among his brothers and sisters, his sisters were weeping. They were weeping. And if you haven't read it, you never would guess what Jesus did. He came down and began to weep with the women. Is deeper. It's deeper than you thought. Life is different than what you thought it was. It's all about being with him. And he said, I would rather be with you than not be with you, even when you are mourning, weeping, grieving. I don't know about you, but if I was God, I would have just raised him up. Nobody has time to be coming down there weeping. And Jesus, I don't want you coming down weeping with me. I want you to fix what I'm going through. And he comes down, and the Bible doesn't say how long he wept, but it was so deep until it was in his spirit. And he's weeping, and he had the power to raise him up. And sometimes I'm walking with someone, and I just want to just say, be healed of all your pain that you've suffered, everything that you've gone through, be healed. Because I think that Jesus is trying to teach me how to be God. And he's simply trying to teach me how to be human. That it makes the difference when you will come down and be with someone, no matter what they're going through. That you won't run away from them, you won't separate yourself from them, because this covenant relationship that Jesus promised you, that I will be with you, if you're weeping, I'll come right down with you and I will weep with you as long as you need me to weep. If you're feeling angry, I will come right there. I won't submit to anger, but I will come and I will share it with you. I will feel what you feel. I will never leave you. I will not leave you. And that's hard to believe. I would rather, he said to me, I would rather be with you than not be with you. I would rather stay in this deep relationship with you and teach you how to enjoy being with me. Do you love me because I can heal you? I can set you free right now? Do you love me because I can provide everything that you want? Is it deeper than that? I promise you that I would be with you. I promise you myself. And we are coming down to this place where we realize how special that is. But also I get a revelation of how special I am. He says, you are my own personal, private possession. My treasure, my value. I add value to you because I see the depths of who you are, and I enjoy being with you at every moment in life. I tell you, he transformed regular everyday life where there's misery and pain and suffering and good and bad and difficult, challenging time. He transformed it by just being with you. He's saying, why are you complaining about the day? I'm with you. And that's the difference. I just enjoy being with you. Everything that's going on around me, it doesn't matter anymore because I'm focused on you. And then I begin to see why David was so successful at walking. He said, I always keep the Lord before me. I'm always mindful of him, just like he's mindful of me. And it just set me free. It set me free from trying to perform to be good enough, because you can never please God by being good enough. It's deeper than that. There's something about you that only he knows, and I don't know why he chose to love me like he loves me, but it is personal and it's private. It's not public display. The only thing that's public is the fruit that comes out of this. The fruit that's born of a relationship that's so intimate that he says that you will all know me. And then he takes us deeper and he says, I will not leave you. I will always be with you. Then he goes deeper with revelation. He says, I am in you and you are in me. We are one. Feel what you feel. We exchange. We share. Bring me your life. He taught me that worship, real worship, is not bringing your best. It's bringing your all. Everything. Because we don't know how to interpret what's good or bad. We look at something and say, oh, this is very bad. And he said, no, I don't see it that way because I'm with you. You know, he told me it. Sharing just truth. He told me, I made the sun. I created it. But I enjoy seeing a sunrise with you as if I've never seen it before. I am God. I know what's going to happen tomorrow, next year. But when I'm with you, I choose to be in the moment with you. I choose to be mindful with you. I choose to give you my full attention. And there are some of you right now that's looking for attention because you didn't get it, because you were neglected as a child. You were not nurtured. And I just told you that the reason why, because you were chosen and precious to God. And you can tell if you were rejected by people. Rejection doesn't feel good, but that is a way of life until you realize how precious the promise of being with him. Could I say it again? I would rather be with you than not be with you. The day is beautiful. You saying it's lousy. You ever turn your back on God and just pouting and angry? He said, I will not leave you. The last thing I will say is that when God told Israel to go in and possess the promised land, and they didn't do it, and he passed a judgment and said, well, you're not going to go in. You're going to wander around this wilderness until everyone died. What we don't see is that when God passed that judgment on them, he was passing it on himself. Because he did not lead them. Before they were disobedient and didn't go in, he was feeding the manna. He was covering them with a pillar of cloud by day to keep the heat from them, and keeping them warm by night with a pillar of fire. And he continued to do that. Powerful God, marching around and around in circles for 40 years. Because I will not leave them. Even if I punish them, that's so. He said, I will not leave them. I will continue to feed them manna. See, I would that we would understand that, because we love people that do what we think they should do. Our life, it's all about someone pleasing me with outward things. I want to leave this with you, that he says it's deeper than that. And the journey will take years and years and years. Let me just say it like this: eternity. And you won't know everything it is to know about God. Every moment he can reveal something new. But what you didn't understand is that every moment he finds out something new about you. It will take him eternity to discover everything that's about you. I'm talking about the inward life, not the external shallow. We're going deeper than that, and we're going into the place of the secret place, covenant relationship, where he says, we become one. Now, that changed my life. Because I was just like Martha and Mary. If you didn't, why didn't you come? And he says, that's an old dispensation. I am always with you. But you are not always with me. I'm not coming. I'm deeper in you. I want you to come deeper to a revelation of what I'm doing. He takes you so far into covenant that he says, no matter if you think it's a bad day, I'm delighted just to be with you. The prize is you. You bring me what you've done. I say, oh, that's fine. That's okay. You know? And we judge him in the same way. I'm going to set you free. We judge him in the same way. You didn't do what I want to. The performance, you didn't come when I want. You didn't do it right. I would have never done it like that, God. If I was God, I wouldn't do it like that. And it's all about performance. Can I say it again? We made him into an action figure. He comes when we need him. And if he does what we want, we are fine. But he says, I don't want you to love me because of that. And so as I began to go deeper in a relationship, I had to change the way I perceived things. My perception of God was wrong. My perception, I thought, okay, you okay, you heal. Oh, God, Will you please heal them? He will heal you. Healing belongs to you. He said, all that I have is yours, but you don't know how to be with me. You don't know how to be with me. It's born. I want you to read John chapter 15 about the abiding in the vine and the fruit. And I want you to see it in a different way, not just fruit on a vine, but intimacy. He says, if my word abide in you and you abide in me, you can ask whatever you want. That's the fruit of abiding, of coming into oneness and dwelling in that secret place that he's already provided. It is there in each and every one of us, but we are not experiencing it because we are outward motivated. We are looking, God, you're somewhere out there. Where are you, God? Where are you? I'm in you. I'm in you. Don't you know, have you ever tried to tell God what's going on in your life that's wrong? As if he didn't know, he said, I'm right with you. I don't leave you because something is going wrong. So I want to leave that with you as you begin to build this next year. I want you to build the intimate, secret place, holy of holies. And it's not some old myth. This is in your innermost being. God dwells in the holy of holies, beyond the veil, beyond the reality of life that you know it. That's why we interpret life by outward things. Oh, God, you didn't do this. And he's saying it's deeper than that. So I want to pray for you now. He's not in a rush. I want him to go ahead and fix the things right away. And he enjoys the process of doing life with you. And he knows so much about everything, but he chooses to discover the secret things about you. And that takes a lifetime. And he wants you to have that same kind of desire for him. I want to know you. In the old covenant, when it says that they knew someone, a child was born. It's intimate. And he's going deeper than that deeper than your pain, your suffering, your rejection, deeper than the hatred that sometimes we have for ourselves. I know what it feels like to be rejected. I know what it feels like to not be chosen by everyone. It was hard reading that when he said, you are chosen, when I remember that no one ever chose me to be on that team when I was a young kid. They didn't choose me on the softball team. They didn't choose me. And I felt rejected and I felt hurt. And that pain and the sensitivity to that pain, it hurts me. It was hurting me to this day. And there was some anger. And God had to share that with me. He had to bring me to the place where I could stop hiding. If you allow him to share your pain, if you're not in a hurry, it's a journey with him that he would share your depression. I know I want to change your perspective. Oh, God, deliver me. No, I don't want you to love me because I can deliver you. I want you to love me because I discovered something about you that's deeper than depression. It's deeper. I share your tears. Real worship. I don't try to sort through and see what's good enough to bring to God. I don't try to sort my life out and say, this is good enough. I'm going to bring this. This is my worship, God, my best. I just bring it all. I want to tell you, the last thing that he delivered me was a temper. I didn't let anybody know it. And I wasn't using that temper on you when I slammed your head. I had been delivered. But that rage that you was, I know it because I was angry that I had been mistreated. And I just kept bearing it because I was afraid to show it, but it used to erupt from time to time. And one day he came to me and he said, "We're going to take care of it. We're going to share it together." And he started walking me out of it and bringing it out of me. And he said, "I just want you to give it to me. Don't press it down. I'm not ashamed of you. I'm not ashamed. You are mine. You are my special treasure. Lord, I can't be a special treasure. Look at me. I'm angry. I can't control it. You are my special treasure." So these things I had to learn. If you're looking for a God that's aloof from you, no, he's in you. So if you can allow him to reveal this light that I've been talking about, it healed me. It set me free. It made me know that the only one that can truly know the value is him. And all he wants to challenge you is that this next year you would really get to know him in a whole different way. Not the God that does what you say when you command him. And you declare all these things that you want to see. It's all of the things that you ask him to do is born out of this deep relationship that I'm talking about. This oneness, this birth, it's fruit. So I bless you and I thank you for the opportunity to speak to you. And I just release in your heart the continued drawing of the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen.